If we could all stand, if you're not standing already. We have had such a great weekend here at Calvary Gospel Church. We had an incredible prayer meeting on Friday night. And I've been struggling as well with a cough, a cold. Seems like everybody that I'm around and everybody I know is sick. And it finally kind of got a hold of me. And what's that, something got a hold of me and it won't let me go? But we're going to start off this morning in just a short three-message series before we get into our theme for the year, and we'll get into that a little bit in this message. And we're going to be starting from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. While you're turning there, once again, such an awesome power and presence. It's so great to have seven young people from Revival Ridge getting the Holy Ghost yesterday. Thank you, Scott and Vicky and Sister Vicky Oliver. Brother and Sister Hawk are working over there along with their incredible team. This is our year of breakthrough. I really believe that. I believe that God is moving, and He's not just moving here, He's moving all over the world. And that's a very good sign. You know, God didn't give us a date and when He's returning. He says, I'm not going to give you. No man knoweth the day nor the hour. But He gave us an awful bunch, a lot of hints. Gave us a lot of signs. And He says, when you see these signs, look up. That means get ready. That means you better have your bags packed. You better have fuel in the car. You better be full of the Holy Ghost. Because get ready. It's not going to be very long. And that day is fast approaching. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given us unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You may be seated this morning. I want to start off with just a, wouldn't it be wonderful that if all we had to really do was show up here on Sundays to experience the power of God in our lives, and we showed up that one Sunday and God would take and come down and He would give us the power to overcome all of our temptations, give us the power to live in purity, the power to share Jesus Christ with a friend, a neighbor, a coworker, that we could just walk in and walk out and be empowered to live for Jesus and never lose that power. But you see, we would have no test. How many of you would like to never have another test, another trial, another sickness, another problem with the enemy, another family problem, another work problem? How many of you would just like to just say, God, just empower me so that I'll never have to deal with problems again? But it doesn't work that way, does it? It doesn't work that way. To have that kind of power requires more than just simply showing up on a Sunday, saying a few prayers before we pray, before we have our meals. It takes more than just fasting a day, a year or so. We simply cannot just make up our minds to say, I'm going to have that kind of power. I want to be empowered. Nothing that we can do. We cannot go online and find that kind of power. Simon the sorcerer in the book of Acts desired to have, he wanted to buy that kind of power. You just can't go on Google and go on Amazon, and you can find books about it, but you can't buy the power of the Holy Ghost. You see, when we look at the disciples, they were in the upper room, and they were there for 10 days. But understand, the 10 days was a culmination of 3.5 years that Jesus spent prepping his disciples. He was prepping them for that 10 days. And that 10 days in the upper room, at the 10th day, empowerment came in the power of the Holy Ghost. These disciples of Jesus, they experienced during the early age or the early times of their experience, they experienced great spiritual growth. Not that they hadn't grown before they were empowered with the Holy Ghost, but once they were empowered with the Holy Ghost, they experienced tremendous personal growth. They took everything that Jesus had been pumping into them. They had the head knowledge, but they needed the power behind it. And Jesus said, I'm going to give you the power. I'm going to empower you. When they saw great numerical growth as thousands of people repented of their sins and were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It was an incredible movement of God. And as long as we see that kind of power in us and among us, but we won't see it without proper preparation. It won't happen. We will never experience, listen, we will never experience an Acts 2 experience without first experiencing Acts 1. You got to go through the 10 days. You got to go through a time of preparation. Acts 2 would have never have happened if Acts 1 wouldn't have taken place. First comes preparation, then comes power. You see, The last time together, when we look at Acts 1, we discover that in Acts 1, we discover the preparation included the authority of the Scripture. They understood the authority of God's Word. Back to the basics includes us getting our lives back under the authority of the Scripture. If you don't have power in your life and you want power, maybe at one time you had power. You had the power of the Holy Ghost working through you and things have just kind of unraveled and you want that power back. You have to submit yourself back under the authority of the Scripture. It won't happen any other way. It's not going to happen any other way. It's simple. If we don't allow the authority of God in our lives, we're not going to have the power of God in our life. And it's true in life, it's true in marriage, it's true in relationship, it's true in church. So to prepare for God's power to fall upon your life, it always, always, always will begin with submitting ourselves to the authority of the Scripture and the authority of God's Word. The priority of prayer, fasting, and relationships, we find in Acts chapter 1, the disciples made prayer a priority. Now just remember, 50 days before that, 40 days actually before that, they couldn't even pray for an hour. Jesus begged them in the garden, can you not pray with me just 1 hour, guys? Come on. I'm about to get crucified here. Pray with me just 1 hour. And then they go in there and here they are in the upper room and prayer became a priority. This year, I believe, as we enter into a new dimension in God, and I believe that God is taking this church. I know He is taking this church. We are on a journey, and it has started since the inception of this church, and it has continued until where we are today. And God, I know last year God spoke to us, if you recall, about desiring to take us into a new level, and I believe that as we grow in levels in God, it's not just level 1, level 2, level 3, level 4. It's like level 1, level 1A, level 1B, level A1, level A1.1. You know, there's multiple. God is just, there's so many dimensions to God. But the incredible part is we can all be on different levels and all be part of the same church. But God is desiring for everyone to get on the same page. I told our staff this morning before we came in, I said, God desires to use every one of us just as powerful. The person sitting next to you, God desires to use just as powerful as He desires to use Bishop or desires to use me. He desires to use you. The power is not just limited to standing behind this pulpit. And if we can grasp that, because this is what I feel so strong in the Spirit, that God wants to empower His church to do unbelievable great things in this last days. So as we go into this season, God is pushing us. We've talked about this. This is where we laid the foundation going into this year, about getting out of our comfort zone. God is pushing us. And as we grow in God, as we grow as a person, as we grow as an individual, we want to grow as a family, we want to grow as a church, and we all have dreams and aspirations, and we have had a steady growth of revival. We've planted, we've sown seeds, we've had a harvest so far, and I'm thankful for what God has given us. We have seen the provisions of God in our ministries, in our lives, in our finances. God has blessed Calvary Gospel Church. Yet in my spirit, I feel that God is pulling us to a place in Him where our faith in God literally explodes into our divine destiny in Him. It's where our faith and our destiny just come together in a nuclear empowerment explosion. And our faith and our destiny are literally melded together in an explosive empowerment of the Holy Ghost. That's how we're going to change our community. That's how we're going to change our neighborhoods. I can't do it just with what I have. But when I have faith in God, and God says, Pastor Roy, this is your faith. And you know, it's just a faith of a grain of mustard seeds, all that's required. I mean, if you got a golf ball size faith, listen, you got loads extra of faith. So a little grain of mustard seed, but then you take God's divine destiny, where God wants you and I to go, and you take those two together, and they collide together, and they're full of the empowerment of the Holy Ghost. Listen, nothing will stop the church. Nothing. So as we step into this next three sermon series, before God will allow us to enter into this next step of our journey, I believe that we have some things we must prepare for. Just like my wife and I are leaving this afternoon after church to go out of town for 3 days. It's my wife's birthday on Valentine's Day. And I got a little 3-day getaway surprise. She's always gotten ripped off on her birthday, I have to admit, because when your birthday's on Valentine's Day, she doesn't really like chocolates and... Well, she does, but not a whole lot. I usually eat most of her chocolates. But you prepare. You prepare. You make preparations. You're going on a vacation, you make preparations. So we have to prepare. When Israel crossed over Jordan River, they were already in the promised land. They were already in their revival. And God spoke to Joshua and says, I want you to stop right here, Joshua, right here. I want you to go any further. I want you to sanctify yourselves, and I want you to get yourselves ready for on the morrow, which means tomorrow, I shall do great things among you. And God is saying, Calvary Gospel Church, you've crossed into your revival. You've crossed into your breakthrough, Brother Hawk. But God is saying, just wait a minute, hold on, just a minute before you go any further into this. I got a few things I want you to fix before you go any further. All right? So God desires to do great things among us, to claim our promise as a church. And today, I want to encourage you to dust off your dreams and bring them back to life. Gone are the days of complacency, the days of fear, the days of doubt. We have been delayed long enough, and God has placed a divine purpose woven within the very fabric of our being. Did you know that? God, from the very beginning, placed a purpose in our lives. Over the past few years, we've been slowly discovering who we are in Jesus Christ, as well as what Jesus Christ has called us to be. Now, we've gone through some difficult times. Some of us have gone through some real difficult times. Yet, we have learned that through Jesus Christ and His strength, we can be very tenacious. I like that with a bulldog. You know why a bulldog's nostrils are turned up at an angle? Everybody ever wonder that? so that when he bites onto his prey, because they were raised to fight wild animals, when he bites on, he can bury his face right into that fur and hang on and still breathe. His nostrils aren't buried into the fur. They're at an angle. And we need to have that tenacity to where we bite on. When we fight the enemy, we bite him. And we don't let go. God has got some great things. So delay was necessary to continue our growth and development for this season. And church, are we ready for our next challenge? Are we ready to go into our next dimension in God? I believe that as we pursue after holiness and righteousness of God, as we pursue his power, he will empower us. And yes, we will see the true glory of God as it manifests itself in us and through us. And as we step into this new season, I want you to look at the person next to you and say, God is going to change you forever. God is going to change you forever. He's going to change us forever. Our theme for this year, as we go into this year, we see up here, it's empowerment in the reach up. It's engage in the reach in. Excuse me, it's equip in the reach in, and it's engage in the reach out. That is our theme this year. Empowered is vision. Equip is tools. Engage is action. That's our reach up, reach out, and reach in. But in order for this to happen, as we have covered, we must allow God to push us, pull us, or drag us into his will. Because hesitation is not going to be our strength in this next season that God is calling us into. We cannot hesitate. We cannot miss the open door revival opportunity. This is time to move, to reach, to stretch, to strive, because God is opening the door. If you were at camp, at midwinter camp, that was a theme throughout the whole camp, that God is opening a door, and when God opens the door, no man can shut that door. So I wish to just preach to you. As you can tell, I don't have a whole lot of volume this morning. I'm going to make it. You might want to take this little microphone thing and throw this away when I'm done, Brother Shane. I don't want anybody else to catch this crud or whatever. But I want to just talk to you this morning, if I can just talk, if everybody's okay with that, on prerequisite to power. What do we have to do? What do we have to do? It's once said that nobody can go back and start a new beginning, but anyone can start today and make a new ending. Nothing could be closer to the truth. I can't go back. You can't go back and say, I want to begin this all over. Can't do that. But we can start from today, right here, right now, and you can make a new ending. But before we can begin this process of transformation, we have to back up and we have to do some things that's been holding some of us back. When we stop chasing the wrong things, we're going to give the right things an opportunity to catch us. Sometimes we just keep chasing after the wrong stuff. But what we need to do is we just need to just stop and allow the right things to catch us. And we need to stop chasing after or change in our lives. And it starts with stop spending time with the wrong people. So if you're a note taker this morning, there's going to be a number of points. We're going to cover 10 points in each one of these messages. There'll be 10 points. Stop spending time with the wrong people. Oh, I'm not saying here, and understand, I'm not saying that when you go into the break room, you can't go into the break room and have a lunch with your coworkers. Okay, we need to be secure enough in our Holy Ghost that we can go into any environment, anywhere, at any time, and have the ability to change that environment. Isn't that what this is all about? Empowerment? Isn't that what it's about? We're not. When you walk into the room, you're the strongest power. You should be the strongest power in that room. If there's someone in that room that lives and works on the dark side, you should be able to go in that room and they should be able to sense your presence. That's empowerment. But you'll never have that if you spend your time with the wrong people. You see, wise Christians will build you up and help you and bring wisdom and knowledge into your life. Proverbs 12:26 tells us the righteous choose their friends carefully. I carefully choose my friends. Now, there's a difference between a friend and an acquaintance. Understand that. I have a lot of friends and I have a lot of acquaintances. I choose my friends wisely. But the way of the wicked leads them astray. A bad friend, my experience in my life, I can only talk about my life. I have lived nobody else's life but my own. But I have had bad friends that have encouraged me. I have been a bad friend and have encouraged others to do bad things. You see, a bad friend will lead you to sin, will encourage ungodly traits, and would rather see you fall than do good in life. Why do they want to see you fall? Because they are fallen. It's the old crab in a barrel syndrome. You get all these crabs in the barrel, and one, they're all trying to get out, but they're all pulling down each other to get out. Proverbs 13:20 tells us, walk with the wise and become stupid. Is that what it says? Walk with the wise and become wise. It doesn't get any plainer than this. Associate with fools and get in trouble. Get destroyed. Walk with the wise and become wise. Walk with the fools and get in trouble. Being a loving and forgiving Christian doesn't mean that you are to hang around with bad friends who bring peer pressure. Listen, peer pressure can be powerful. Go online and look at some of those studies of peer pressure. I don't have enough time to talk about all of them, but there's one where that they go into a doctor's office. It's like a dental office. And a little buzzer rings and everybody stands up. And nobody knows why they're standing up. It's because there's a few people in the room that have been designed there as to do that. They know what's going on. And within a few minutes, everybody's standing up. Whenever the buzzer rings, everybody stands up. The three people that are in the room that were designed to part of the project or the test, they all eventually filter out. And now nobody's in the room that knows that when the buzzer rings, they're supposed to stand up. They don't know why they're supposed to stand up. But the buzzer rings and everybody just automatically stands up. And it gets down to where somebody comes in and says, why do we all stand up when the buzzer rings? And everybody says, we don't know. Because when we come in and the buzzer rang, everybody stood up. So we're supposed to stand up when the buzzer rings. You see, that's what peer pressure does. You have no idea why you're doing something, but you're doing it because everybody else does it. So we have to be careful. Life is too short. It's too short. I have changed so much of my life in this regard because I don't want to spend time with people that just suck the happiness right out of me. There are some people that are like happiness vacuum cleaners. They suck it right out of you. You walk in a room and immediately it starts to rain. They're like Eeyore. It doesn't matter what happens. Life is terrible. It doesn't mean you just go up to people and say, listen, you suck the happiness out of me, so I'm not going to be your friend anymore. There's discreet ways to do it. Be discreet, but distance yourself. If someone wants you in their life, listen, if somebody wants you in their life, they're going to make room for you in their life. That's how it is. You shouldn't have to fight for a spot to get in somebody's life. And never, ever put yourself in a relationship where someone continually overlooks your worth. I see that so many times. I know what I am in God, and I know what I have in God. And I'm not going to allow anybody that is jealous of or doesn't appreciate the same value. Listen, you have value. I don't know if you know that or not, but every one of us here, every one of you, we have value. And that value, when it connects with the power and the presence and the empowerment of the Holy Ghost, it compounds that value and it gives you a greater value. And yet, we're like Eeyore. Don't let anybody, don't sell yourself short. Don't sell yourself short. God has invested Calvary in you. I don't know if we understand that. He left the awesomeness of heaven, came down to earth, lived like we lived, suffered pain like we suffered, because you and I have value. Don't ever let anybody sell you short. Don't ever. But it's the ones, the friends who stand beside you when you're at your worst. See, those are the friends you want in your life. They stand beside you when you're at your worst. Those are your true friends. What does Proverbs 27:17 tell us? As iron sharpens iron. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. That's powerful. That's the kind of friends that we want. Number two, stop running from your problems. Life is always going to be full of problems. It doesn't matter. You know, revival brings problems. Did you know that? Revival is messy. It's dirty. You got all kinds of problems. We're never going to live a problem-free life. If you think that as a Christian it ought to be that way, then there's a big misconception going on here somewhere, because we're going to have troubles and trials. They're going to come. But instead of running from your problem, you need to turn around and face the problem head on. Don't let a problem chase you throughout your life. Turn around, face it, and deal with it. It's not going to be easy. There's no one person in the world capable of flawlessly handling every problem that's thrown at them. I've had a lot of problems thrown at me over the last 3 years, and I haven't handled every one of them flawlessly. But I've tried to handle them. I'm not going to run from them. We're not supposed to be able to take and instantly solve every problem we have. Sometimes we just want to do that. We want to just, like, it's like we go to our phone and it's a click, it's a friend, click, it's an unfriend. We want to do it with our problem. Click, it's a problem. Click, it's an unproblem. It's gone. It's gone. No, and listen, ignoring them doesn't make them go away. Doesn't make them go away. So if you got a problem, a relationship problem, or you've got a problem at work, or you got a problem with a brother or sister here, and you think because I don't shake their hand at church and I don't sit by them, I don't look at them, that it's just going to go away. No, it's not going to just go away. Face the problem head on. In fact, we're not supposed to be able to instantly solve every problem. That's not how we're made. We're made to get upset. That's what happens, doesn't it? Our emotions kick in. We get sad. We get hurt. We stumble and fall, because that's the purpose of living, is to face our problems. We have to learn, we have to adapt, and we have to learn how to solve them over a period of time. This is what ultimately molds us. I don't know if you know this or not, but I have learned so much through mistakes and problems. You know why we have indoor plumbing? Does anybody know? Because there was a problem with going outside when it's 40 below zero out there and sitting in a little wood hut with a Sears and Roebuck catalog. It gets cold out there. And because somebody thought, hey, what if we bring this indoors? They solved the problem. You see, That's how we become the people we are, is because we learn how to solve our problems. Proverbs 3:6 in the ESV says, "In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." Number three, this is a really, really big one. Stop lying to yourself. You see, you can lie to anybody else in the world. You can lie to me all you want to, and I may never know that. But you can't lie to God, and it's really hard sometimes to lie to yourself. Okay? Our lives improve only when we take chances, and the first and most difficult chance that we have to take is we have to be honest with ourselves. This is how we become empowered. You see, we got to be honest with ourselves. There are so many ways that we could deceive ourselves and believe that what we're doing is right. James 4:17 says, whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. You see, most Christians, we deceive ourselves by thinking that we can't stop a certain sin in our life. But the truth of the matter is it's because most of the time we don't want to stop that sin in our life. You see, God can't come in and empower you how he wants to empower you if you are willfully allowing sin in your life. I'm not talking about an occasional trip up. I'm talking about something that you consistently, habitually go back to time and time again. And God finally says, wait a minute here. I can't stop that if you keep going back to that. You see, we deceive ourselves by believing that something bad can be good. That's how we rationalize things. Well, you know, it's really not that bad of a thing. You know, everybody else does it. I've even heard of some people that it was a good thing that they did it. Since when has sin ever been a good thing? Okay? We deceive ourselves. We go out of our way sometimes to find that false teacher, that mentor, that buys into our little boo-hoo thing going on. They buy into this, and they assist you to justify your sins when the Bible and your conscience is telling you no. It's a whole lot easier to justify doing wrong when somebody else is sitting there next to you and saying, oh, you know, that's okay. I don't want to scare you here, Renee. That's okay. You know, everybody does that. Everybody has that problem. Don't worry about it. And then you go through life and you're like, well, okay, it's all right. And you just keep lying to yourself. 2 Timothy 4:3 tell us? For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. That means what I'm telling you today, they're going to look at and say, that's ridiculous. That's not the way the world, that's not, come on, get in the 21st century, Pastor. For the time is coming, and we live in that day today, when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will collect for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. They're basically saying, Pastor, tell me what I want to hear. Tell me what I want to hear. Come on, scratch my ear there. Tell me what I want to hear. Don't tell me what I need to hear. Tell me what I want to hear. Number four, stop putting your own needs on the back burner. See, the most painful thing is losing yourself in the process of loving someone too much. Did you know you can take and lose yourself by loving someone so much? And forgetting that you are special too. Sometimes we get ourselves in a relationship where that it's all about the other person. It's all about the other person. And your needs go unmet. Listen, in a marriage relationship, it's not 50-50. It's 100-100. You see, if Noah's always given 100, Renee's only given 25, then there's going to be an imbalance there. I'm picking on you guys this morning. There's going to be an imbalance there. And what's going to happen? Noah, if he keeps putting his needs on the back burner, eventually it's going to take a toll on him. You see, we need to help others. We had a series on that, the O, others, putting others before yourself. We need to help others, but we can't ignore ourselves either. You see, John, 3 John 1, 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." So it's important. It's not just important that your family prospers, but it's important that you prosper. You just can't watch out, parents. We just can't watch out for the souls of our children, our own souls. I've said this before. There's nothing more valuable to me in my life than my own soul. And we got to understand that. We got to put our soul first. Because if we're lost, where's that going to leave everybody else? You know, sometimes we just get out of sorts and we have to make these corrections. If there is ever a moment to follow your godly passions and to do something for God, something that God has called you to do, something that matters to you, that time is now. It's important, fathers, that your children are involved in ministry. Yes, it's great to push them and get them involved, but you need to be involved in ministry as a leader in your family. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Number five, stop trying to be something you're not. You see, understand something, that somebody's always going to be prettier. Somebody's always going to be smarter. There's always going to be somebody younger. But they're never going to be you. You got to be confident in you. And listen, don't change so people will like you. Because then everyone you're with, you have to change. And you'll go through your life. Listen, you'll go through your life and you will never know who you really are. You'll never know. Don't change. Be yourself. And the right people, those friends that you choose, the right friends, they're going to love you for who you are. Not what they think you ought to be. We look at Psalms 139, 14 and 15 in the English Standard Version. It says, "I praise you." This is a psalmist talking to God. "I praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And then he goes on to compliment God. He says, "Wonderful are your works. I'm one of your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven into the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." Before you were even formed, God knew who you were and what you were going to be and had a plan for you. And only you can fulfill that plan. I can't fulfill the plan God has for John Repka. John Repka has to do that. That's how it works. Number six, stop trying to hold on to the past. This is a big one. Notice that Jesus says, no one who keeps looking back is fit for my kingdom. The words no one is an all-exclusive word. It means all of us, no exceptions. In other words, Jesus is wanting us to get a grip on this revelation and get it properly worked into our mindset so that when we plow straight ahead into the call and the divine destiny that God has, He has in store for our lives. Paul puts this in revelation in proper perspective in relation to the big picture. And this is how he puts it in Philippians 3:12. For now I am already attained, or I am already perfected, but I press on. Or not that I am already attained or am already perfected, but I press on and I lay a hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid a hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. If anybody had an excuse to allow his past to come back and haunt him, it was Paul. Remember, before he became the greatest apostle in the New Testament, he was the greatest New Testament apostle killer. That's what he did. That's what his livelihood was chasing down leaders of the new church and having them killed. Now, all of a sudden, he's on the other side of this. And he said, listen, I know what my past was. You know what my past was. But I am going to press forward in the call of Christ in my life. I don't care what happened in my past. You know, I don't care what happened in any of your past. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to God. But what happens is we put our past and give it more of a priority than our present and our future. So when you look at starting the next chapter of your life, you're never going to start another chapter if you keep going back and rereading the old one. It's not going to happen. You can't move on until you let go of yesterday's mistakes. I will tell you this, the enemy is going to come at you, and he's going to constantly remind you of your past mistake. You don't think I get reminded of what I used to be, how I used to act, how I used to conduct myself, my shortcomings, all of this kind of stuff? Don't listen to it. That's why he's called the devil. He's the liar, the father of all lies. Yeah, we were all bad at one time. We're all sinners. You know, I just, when the devil comes and tries to tempt me and taunt me, I just look at him and I say, you know what, devil, we were all sinners. We've all fallen short, but it's the grace of God. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. I know where I'm going, and I know where you're going. So put up or shut up. I talk to him that way. I don't know how you talk to him, but I drive down the road sometimes, and I get right in his face. People probably think I got road rage. I got devil rage going on. Number seven, stop being scared to make a mistake. You know, we all make mistakes. That's how we learn to walk. That's how we learn to ride a bike. That's how we learn how to write cursive and all of this kind of stuff. That's how we learned our math, our multiplication tables, because we just kept making mistakes, kept getting them wrong. So eventually we get them right. I'd rather do something and get it wrong. I'm just going to tell you something. I'd rather do something and get it wrong because it's far more productive than doing nothing. I got a train set at home. Most of you know that. It's not a train. It's a railroad empire. And recently I went through and I did some stuff over. Because I looked at it and I thought, you know what, I don't like that. And I can do better than that. Or I could just let it sit and do nothing. But I'd rather do it the first time, do it wrong, look at it and say, no, I don't like that. It's not how I want it. Tear it all out and start over and do it right. Because I'm doing something. There's productivity in that. And every success has a trail of failures behind it. And every failure is leading toward your success. See, what does Proverbs tell us? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Number eight, stop beating yourself up for your old mistakes. Did you know that God will never abandon us? Deuteronomy 3:31-6 says, be determined and confident. Do not be afraid of them. Your God, the Lord himself, will be with you. He will not fail you or abandon you. He's not going to leave us alone. He's not going to say, well, you know, I'm kind of tired of all of your mistakes. And you know what? Thump, thunks us right out of his hand. No, he's not going to abandon us. He's not going to abandon us. We may love the wrong person and cry about the wrong things, but no matter how wrong things go, God is not going to abandon us. And God's approval, did you know God approves of us? His approval creates hope. Did you know that? We also boast of our troubles because we know that trouble produces endurance. Endurance brings God's approval, and his approval creates hope in Romans 5:4. You see, remember, God chose us to carry out his work. He didn't send the angels down to carry out his work. He chose us. God chose you, Felicia Pendleton, to carry out his work. There's no other person like Felicia. And God says, I've got something just for her. And it's not for Valerie Vaughn, it's for Felicia. You see, God is going to choose us to carry out his work, and he will show us the right way. I am not, and you are not your past mistake. We are not our past struggles. We are here, right here and right now, today, with the power to shape this day, as well as the power to shape our tomorrow. Number nine is, you know what? No matter how hard you try, you will never be able to buy happiness. It won't happen. You see, many things that we desire, they're expensive. We like them. We like expensive stuff. And if we're not careful, we can become, I don't know, disdained for our life. We're not happy with our life, and we think that if we buy more stuff, that that's just going to make us happier. Listen, you can spend yourself into oblivion and still be unhappy. You can buy, you can go on Amazon buying sprees, and you can max out every credit card application you get in the mail, and at the end, you're not going to have happiness because you got to pay it all back. So stop trying. Stop trying. 1 Timothy 6, 6-8 basically tells us, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and we're going to take nothing out of this world. I don't know if you know this or not, but you came in here naked, and you're going out naked. That's how it works. When we go to heaven, I'm not going to be able to take my train set with me. It ain't going. I'm going to have one up there. You'll hear this big old huge whistle going to sound like a big old trumpet coming, and it's going to be Pastor Roy going by on his Hallelujah Express up there. A bullet train. Where you headed, Pastor Roy? I'm headed to the rings of Saturn. Hop on. I believe that we can. I'm hoping that when we get to heaven, Brother Noah, that we can be like Superman when we want to go out of heaven's gates and say, God, can I go to that nebula that's way over there? I've watched that out my front yard so many times. I've looked up, and God's going to look at me and say, take your wings, son, and fly. That's why I created it. That's why it's there. Isn't that awesome? Big turbos. Holy Ghost turbos. Stop trying to buy happiness. As Timothy says, we can't take anything out of this world, so why do we strive so hard for material things that mean absolutely nothing in the end? And number 10, you know, sometimes we look for others for happiness. Stop looking for others for happiness. You see, if you're not happy with who you are on the inside, listen here, if you're not happy with who you are on the inside, you're not going to be happy with any long-term relationship with anybody else either. That's why it's so important to be happy with who you are. Because your unhappiness is going to affect your wife. It's going to affect your family. It's going to affect those around you. If you're never satisfied, you're going to have a wife that's never going to be satisfied because she's never going to know. She can't give you everything you need to be. You got to be happy with who you are, with who God created you. You know, why couldn't I be Tom Brady? Because God only needed one. You know, we think about some of that stuff. Why couldn't I be just Pastor Grant, Pastor John Grant, Bishop Grant, all his wisdom? Follow the word, you'll get there. How do you think he got there? Be happy with who we are. Stop looking for other people for happiness. God wants us to be happy, joyful, and cheerful. Remember Eeyore? Nehemiah 8:10 tells us, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. God wants us to rejoice in him. Our strength should come from him. Our joy should come from him. Listen, our approach and attitude to God and life will make a huge difference in our outlook on life, as well as our attitudes, our health, and our relationship with other people. As I said, we had such a powerful prayer meeting on Saturday night, and God spoke to us twice in the prophetics. That's this Friday night, excuse me. That's the prophetics. I'm talking about Corinthians chapter 1, verse 14. We also heard some of this at Midwinter Camp, that God is calling us into an hour of preparation. 2 Chronicles 29:36 tells us, and Hezekiah rejoiced in all the people that God had prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly. I believe that is God. Listen. If you desire to rise up in the kingdom of God, every man, every woman, every child God has ever used has taken time to prepare. If our musicians could come, if you'd like to stand this morning. You see, God took Abraham and prepared Abraham before he gave him the promise. God prepared Moses. When Moses went down to Pharaoh's house to demand that Israel be let go, God spent 40 years in the wilderness preparing him. God says, I got to get him alone. I got to send him through some problems. He's been raised in the house of Pharaoh. He's a spoiled brat. Thinks he can get away with murder and cover it up. He's got some serious problems on the inside. But God says, you know what? I can deal with that. And God took time to prepare Moses. We even look at Deborah, the prophetess. We look at Samuel, young Samuel. Even as a young boy, God began to prepare Samuel as a young boy for the prophet he would be when he got older. It was that preparation time. And sometimes we feel that we can just come in and just jump right in and just automatically be Paul. God says, no, no, listen. There's a process I have, Calvary. There's a process. You see, we can miss our empowerment with God if we have not observed a time of preparation. It is those who have paid their dues. I used to work in plumbing, and I hated hearing this. You got to pay your dues. I think there's a song that says, if you want to sing the blues, you got to pay your dues. You know it don't come easy. It's that way with God. Listen, you want empowerment? You want to be the next Peter? You want to be the next Paul? You want to be the next Dorcas? You want to be the next Deborah? You want to be the next Moses? Listen, it doesn't come without preparation. These men and women, they set themselves up for the empowerment of God in their lives. And God is saying this morning, I have a future prepared for you. But to arrive at your future, we must prepare today. God reckons with our preparation. And He looks at our preparation, and through our preparation, He determines our placement. Did you know that? Those that prepare and take the time to prepare are going to be the ones that reap the benefits and the rewards of that preparation. But so many times, we're not disciplined enough. I want to be ready, church. I want us to be ready. Preparation demands discipline. It demands self-denial. It demands sacrifice, and it demands restraints. For those of us who have chosen to live within the boundaries that God has placed in our lives, we will be tested, and we'll be tested to be trusted. Understand that God is testing us to see if He can trust us. We will be tried so we can triumph. You won't triumph if you've never been tried. And in order to be approved, we must prove. If God demands this of everyone before us, He's going to demand it of us. You see, preparation is a time of testing, and God won't empower us unless He has prepared us. So this morning, as we bring this message to a close, are we prepared? Are we ready for empowerment? Are we ready to allow the power of God to flow through us in such a powerful, powerful way? Can we handle that, church? Maybe you're here this morning and you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you're struggling in your life, and you want more out of God. You can take yesterday and you can bury it, Brother Hawk. And your yesterday can become your today, and your failures of your past can become the futures of your tomorrow. So I want to open up this altar, give you an opportunity if you'd like to come down and pray, husbands and wives. I know our children are in Sunday school. But if you're struggling in your life, just listen, we all have struggles. We're all going through struggles. There's nobody in here that's struggle-free. But that's why God has sent us and given us brothers and sisters, given us friends. Be used by God. Maybe you're feeling very incomplete in your ministry, and you say, God, there's got to be more. There's got to be more, God. How much more are you willing to give in order to get? God desires to empower His church. We have to grasp this mindset.